This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on, stop.
Well, hello, America. It's the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. And, hey, are you as outraged as I am about this this ransom? I don't know, to be more outraged about that, which is, of course, against American policy, even American law, that our government would, pay American, American dollars. And, of course, the administration knew this. So in dark of night, they decided, hey, we're going to fly an unmarked plane with Swiss francs and euros in the tune of how many millions of dollars? $400 million in cash. And they're saying it didn't amount to a ransom. Interestingly enough, the bad guys have figured it out and said, okay, America is now paying ransom. I mean, forget about what, our State Department or anybody at home would want to say. It's what the terrorists would say, what the bad guys are saying. And they're saying, hey, look, America is open to play the game now. And we can get some money. And, they can call it what they want, but we know what it was. They gave us $400 million, and we let four of their people go. And so as a result, we captured a couple of others. And forget about Bob Levinson, and, we're not even talking about him. And his family, for 9 years, this has been the longest held hostage in the history of our country. I mean, this is just incredible. Last night, Sebastian Gorka had this to say about this hostage situation.
According to an absolutely stunning report out of the Wall Street Journal, the Obama administration, as we told you earlier, secretly gave Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror, the equivalent of $400 million in cold, hard cash during the same time that American hostages were being freed by Tehran. Now, Republican lawmakers are saying it amounts to ransom and will now put more Americans at risk. But, of course, both the State Department and the propaganda office of the White House, they're claiming the timing of the money and the transfer and the prisoner release, it's all just a coincidence.
We don't pay ransom. We just don't pay ransom. It is our policy. This was not ransom. Any suggestion that it had anything to do with ransom is absolutely and utterly false. These were two separate processes run by two separate teams. Now, yes, they were done simultaneously, and so I understand the coincidental nature here of the timing, but absolutely had nothing to do with ransom.
This $400 million is actually money that the Iranians had paid into a U.S. account in 1979 as part of a transaction to procure military equipment. This all came to a head at the same time because we are addressing and resolving longstanding concerns with Iranian behavior. And the benefits are almost too long to mention.
Here with reaction, author of Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, the distinguished chair of military theory at Marine Corps University, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, author of The Damned of Petersburg. Dr. Gorka, I'll start with you. Well, it's interesting. The Iranians have weighed in, and they said it's ransom. They said it was paid ransom. Reaction.
Sure. Today, the FBI charged a police officer in Washington with wiring money to what he thought was ISIS. In the criminal code, that is called material support to terrorism. What the Obama regime did is $400 million worth of material support to terrorism. The president himself admitted in an interview in March of 2015 that Iran is still a state sponsor of terrorism. Why are we giving them any money? We know that they will use part of that money for terrorist operations, and we know in the last 15 years that they sponsored and gave weapons to the militias in Iraq that killed U.S. servicemen and women. How is that not material support to a terrorist regime, Sean?
I got to tell you, like Ted Hayes had to say in the last hour, they're getting away with it because we the people are not saying anything. We're looking to the media. The media is not going to give us the information. It's we, the people, that need to start sticking our head out the window and screaming, we cannot take this any longer. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour, stay right where you are. We've got more coming up.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And we keep telling you, if we're going to get this country back on track, it's going to be up to me and you, a bottom-up movement, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into the mess. The elites are happy to stay right where they are. They have secured their position by funding entitlement and a large number of people, depending on the government. I mean, they don't want to give that up. I mean, it's been a gravy train for them. They've been trained and conditioned to accept the handout of this government, not a hand up. And this is the philosophy that's been driving this country. And many of you are sitting there around the kitchen table, shocked and awed, and saying, what happened to the greatest country on God's green earth, this America that we grew up with? Well, we have let go of the reins of control. Constitution says very clearly the power is in the hands of we the people. But if we the people are not going to exercise that power, you have what we have today in today's America. Robert Spencer is with us, the director of Jihad Watch, a program of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, author of the New York Times bestsellers, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Truth About Muhammad, founder of the world's most intolerant religion, as well as 11 other books on Islam and terrorism. Robert Spencer, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Bob, thank you for, coming on and talking about this topic that the media has given an incredible amount of time to compared to Pat Smith. I mean, here also a respected mother of an American hero. She's been marginalized and, kind of positioned as some crazy woman because she believed Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton tells her that they're going to definitely go after the person that, did the video, which we know today was an absolute joke. But here she is as a mom grieving. And you have somebody in the position as the Secretary of State telling her this and then now denying it and making her seem like she's some crazy woman. But this is the pattern of Hillary Clinton. She's done this to protect Bill Clinton on many occasions, and so she knows the drill. And, this is just another episode and another body thrown under the bus. But meanwhile, you've got Mr. Khan, Kazir Khan, who has gotten, over 70 minutes compared to 70 seconds, of airtime. To tell his story. So, can you help us understand what is this, the whole scenario here and the narrative behind Mr. Khan's, resurgence here?
The fact is that Mr. Khan is useful. Kazir Khan is somebody who is the Democratic Party is trying to use him to show that Donald Trump's proposal to restrict Muslim immigration, to have some temporary ban on it or something, is not only wrong but evil. And his evidence is the death of his son in the U.S. military. Now, the thing is, Donald Trump did not answer this very well. He should have said that he honored the man and honored his son's sacrifice, and that it was completely off the point. He wasn't saying that there weren't Muslims who were patriotic, but he's saying there's a jihad threat that we have to deal with. And he's the right. only one who's actually come up with a plan to do that, to try exactly. to counter it. Everybody else who's excoriating him as a bigot for suggesting a moratorium on Muslim immigration has not come up with any alternative plan to deal with the problem he is trying to address. Now, exactly. then the plot thickens when we learn that Khizr Khan has worked for a law firm that is in the employ of the government of Saudi Arabia and has been lobbying in Washington and working for to bring in people that's actually been accused of bringing in immigrants for in a pay-for-play scheme that they buy U.S. citizenship, essentially. Mm. And so this is a man with a professional interest in keeping the immigration procedures the way they are and in not having any restrictions. And, of course, the Democratic Party and the mainstream media aren't telling us that.
Now, isn't the Clinton Foundation entangled in this in some sort of way?
Yes, absolutely. There was a great deal of money given by this law firm and associated groups to the Clinton Foundation. And so this is essentially a professional associate of Hillary Clinton. And he is being presented as a disinterested critic of Donald Trump solely on the basis of the supposed moral ground, the fact that his proposal is supposedly unethical.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, Robert, Donald Trump, he's got to get out of this New York state of mind that says just because you get punched in the teeth means you got to punch harder. You got to be smarter than that. He's a smarter guy. This guy's a gazillionaire. He's not a knucklehead, but yet his responses are such that, he does himself more harm. As you say, stay on point. You know the scenario. No matter where they hit you, here's the message that you need to repeat. You know, you pull out the card and say, this is what we're talking about, which most Americans relate to. They relate to, let's go along. Let's believe our security analysts who say they cannot vet these refugees coming in these grave numbers that President Obama has opened the gates to. And let's stay on point there. I mean, talking about his wife, not talking and, trying to bring up Sharia law when you don't have all the facts and it's just the innuendo. I mean, the media jumps all over it. And now that becomes the story.
Yes, exactly. And this is the problem, that his handling of this has been, for somebody who has played the media so cannily all through his campaign, this may be his worst fumble. And it's a mm-hmm. shame because he had an opportunity to drive home his central point about the need for this kind of a ban or the need to do something to stop jihad terrorists from coming into the United States. And instead, a lot of red herrings and irrelevancies in regard to the man's wife and so on.
Exactly. Well, Robert, we were talking with Bob Beaupre, the former congressman, this morning. And, I said to Robert, I said, look, here's the situation is that, it's one thing when you're battling 16 other Republicans. The media is going to give you some quasi support because, hey, look, you're beating up your brothers and we don't particularly care for them either. And it's a story and you're a ratings juggernaut. So, hey, it's probably good for us. We'll give you some, some support. But I think Donald Trump has fooled himself into thinking that somehow the media may still be his friend, even though he goes after him the way he does. They've got their own agenda, and that is to get Hillary Clinton elected to office. That's it, end of story. So anything he says that can be used against him in the court of public opinion, they're going to take the ball and run with it.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you, Robert, telling us about Khizr Khan and what we're, what he's all about. And it's unfortunate because, we're talking about his son. And one thing that Donald Trump did say is that his son is a hero. Of course, all that swallowed in the complication of his other comments. And it's unfortunate that we got to sit here and talk about Mr. Khan and about his background and his tentacles with the Saudis and the Clinton Foundation. I mean, This is not as pure as some people would want to think. More with Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, right after the break. Stay with us, America. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by S.C. Johnson. Mosquitoes. We all know they can cause itchy, irritating bites during the summer season. But did you know only female mosquitoes bite your skin? Or that the chemicals in your breath can attract mosquitoes? Scientists at the S.C. Johnson Entomology Research Center have been studying insects for 60 years and have found that body chemistry, proximity to water, and the color of your clothing can make a difference if you want to avoid bites. Dr. Maud Meyer, an S.C. Johnson bug expert, is here to share some tips to help you protect your family from mosquitoes this summer.
Our research at S.C. Johnson shows that personal repellents that contain DEET offer the best protection against mosquito bites. DEET affects the scent receptors in mosquitoes, making it difficult for them to recognize humans as a food source. In order to best protect your family, look for effective personal repellents like OFF that contain DEET.
For more facts and tips on avoiding mosquito bites this summer, visit www.scjohnson.com/mosquitoes.
You know, we've seen these crazy diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.
New ProMax filter technology from ProPure removes over 200 contaminants from your drinking water, including the stuff you don't taste, smell, or see, like PFOA. ProMax is independent lab tested to NSF standards. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Ask about our free shipping special on ProMax. Don't drink just any water. Drink ProPurified water.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
I wanna live this life unsafe, unsure, but not afraid.
Bill Martinez. Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
I can't push back the
Hey, it's all about you, America, doing the best we can to pursue the truth no matter where it leads us, because it is that vital to our future and the success of this country, being able to withstand the attacks that it's under. It's 19 minutes right now after the top of the hour. A conversation with Robert Spencer continues. Robert, just to, you know, kind of summarize Khazer Khan and the servant of the global Ummah, what that's all about. Though the Washington Post dubbed, Trump's response as a brutal repudiation of Donald Trump, Trump responded elevating Khazer Khan to the status of full-fledged flavor of the moment media celebrity. And you say there's one catch. Khazer is using his son's memory not to advance the cause of the United States, as his son apparently died trying to do, but to advance a quite different cause, and that of the global Ummah. Now, people, you know, global Ummah, that might be the first time that they've heard that phrase. Explain briefly what that means.
That is the global Muslim community worldwide that in Islamic theology is considered to supersede all other loyalties. Not that you have a national allegiance or an ethnic allegiance or familial allegiance. The main allegiance that a Muslim is supposed to have is to the global Ummah, the worldwide Muslim community. And I said that Khazer Khan was working in service of that because he lied outright, and he must know better, when he said that the terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. Of course, this is the official line of Barack Obama and the U.S. administration, but it's palpably ridiculous when the terrorists themselves are invoking the Quran and Muhammad in justifying what they're doing and making recruits among peaceful Muslims. There's really no doubt that terrorism has very much everything to do with Islam, and that we have to deal with it on that basis, but we're not going to be dealing with it properly. And that is the part of this that Khazer Khan was leaving out. What would be the response, the result of leaving that out? It would be essentially to foster ignorance and complacency about the jihad threat, which only serves the global Ummah, not the United States.
Well, as we know, London is waking up to a militarized city now. I mean, they've geared up, and we want to talk a little bit more about what has happened there in the last 24 hours. But to your point, the president has been saying that ISIS is back on the run again. But I'm reading a website from the religionofpeace.com, a list of Islamic terror in the last 30 days. It says during this time period, there were 141 Islamic attacks in 22 countries, in which 1,165 people were killed and 1,803 injured. That is according to this report, and they're saying that they cannot get all the information, but based on what they're able to post right now, I mean, those numbers are quite astounding, and I would say that if ISIS is on the run, it seems to be they're running in the wrong direction, according to this president.
Yeah, and you know something? John Kerry actually takes those figures, takes this data, and says this is evidence that we're winning and that ISIS is losing, because in his tortured logic, what he's trying to say is that whenever ISIS strikes in the West, it's because they're being driven out of Iraq and Syria. And so when we have these bloodbaths in Orlando and Nice and everywhere else, it's because ISIS is losing and they are being dispersed. Now, of course, that's not really losing. If they are dispersing jihad fighters around the world, they're going to create misery in Western countries for generations to come. But John Kerry and Barack Obama tell us it's all okay. We should go back to sleep.
Exactly. Well, and then in London, they're waking up with their eyes wide open after this mass knifing by a Somali teen.
Yes. And yet at the same time, you have this Somali teen who lived in Norway up until 2002 and then relocated to the UK. And so he's being widely reported as being Norwegian without mention of the Somali. And the British police have already said there's no evidence of radicalization. Now, what on earth does that mean, Bill? It really means nothing at all. It means that he wasn't carrying an ISIS membership card or wearing an Al-Qaeda T-shirt. And so you have this incredible spectacle playing out again, that the Islamic State has called for attacks by lone wolves in attacks on civilians in Western countries. They have specifically called for stabbing of civilians in Western countries. And every time it happens, authorities pretend they can't figure out why it's happening, and they don't understand what on earth could be his motive. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's this twisted logic
that they want to take you down the road. And, you know, many of us, you know, it's like, okay, that can be a party of one. I don't want to be involved in that kind of thinking with John Kerry and President Barack Obama, because it obviously is, you know, a terrorist attack. You got ISIS celebrating, and they're calling for more attacks, as you say, by these lone wolves in England, Germany, France. So guess what? The knife infatada is coming to a neighborhood near you.
Yeah, and see, they're treating every one of these as if they were separate, distinct criminal acts that each needs an investigation and each needs to have some determination of what the motive could possibly be. When in reality, this is a war, and the way they're behaving is if it was on December 8, 1941, the reporting was a group of men attacked Pearl Harbor, and each one is being investigated to determine what his motive could have been. And
right.
It would have been ridiculous. Everybody knew they were in a war then, and we're in a war now in the same way.
Yeah, and it's not like ISIS doesn't say, look, we hate you, we want you dead, and declared war on America. I mean, what more do you need?
Exactly, exactly. They've made it very clear they're at war with the West. They've made it very clear that they are sending their soldiers, who are their warriors in this war with the West, into our countries as refugees, and then they are having them carry out exactly the kind of attack that we saw in London last night. And so there really ought not to be any question about this. When you have a Muslim who is an immigrant who is stabbing people at random on the street, people should just recognize, well, that's what ISIS wants. That's an ISIS attack.
Exactly. Well, and so what's the problem here in America of a presidential candidate saying, look, we've got, you know, our security analysts and directors are saying, look, we cannot vet these refugees that are coming, a lot of refugees that are coming in from these terror, you know, countries are young men. They're single. This does not bode well. History has shown us time and again when we open the gates up to refugees like this, we get an incredible amount of unintended consequences. Luke Adler, the former U.S. Marshal, spoke in complete detail and what he experienced over several decades of refugees coming into this country that were ill-vetted. And it seems like, you know, the kind of refugees that are coming in now are worse than what he experienced during, you know, his U.S. Marshal days back in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, I'm sure it's exponentially worse. I mean, think about Tashfeen Malik. Tashfeen Malik, the San Bernardino shooter, killed 14 people at a Christmas party on December 2nd, 2015. And she had passed five separate background checks from five different U.S. agencies. The ISIS group is specifically recruiting people who don't have criminal records so that they can just skate through background checks. And there's just nothing to check. There's nothing to see. And so they get into the country. And what the U.S. government doesn't dare vet for is the belief system that leads to this kind of activity. And that's the problem.
Well, Robert, what do we do? I mean, we the people can see this. I mean, you know, and we continue to get this misinformation and propaganda from our own leaders, whether it's the president or our secretary of state.
Well, we got to turn them out, Bill. There needs to be not just a new president, but a wholesale sacking of the foreign policy establishment and its replacement. I hope that we get a president who will dare to do that.
Exactly. Well, I agree with you, Robert, because, you know, same old just gets us more of the same old. And and you have to look at the leadership up and down as being complicit in the support of this kind of ideology and, you know, this type of program that is threatening our very national security. Robert Spencer has been our guest. Robert, thank you as always. Good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live.
This report is brought to you by the Astellas Oncology C3 Prize. According to a study published in Lancet Oncology, by 2030, there are expected to be more than 22 million cancer cases worldwide. As the medical community develops innovative treatments, the need for new tools that may help those facing cancer today is critical. The Astellas Oncology C3 Prize, seeking non-treatment ideas to improve cancer care, will award $100,000 in grants and a chance to present at Stanford University's Medicine X to Shark Tank's Robert Herjavec. Mark Reisenauer, Senior VP Oncology at Astellas.
As a caregiver for my father, who recently passed away from cancer, I understand the needs and challenges faced by patients and caregivers. That's why we created the C3 Prize, and we look forward to the innovations discovered through this program.
Applications for the C3 Prize close at midnight Central Time, August 8th. Submit your ideas and see full challenge rules at c3prize.com. Void where prohibited and no purchase necessary.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move and getting mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 3 hours coming at you, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And, of course, right now we're in Oahu, Hawaii, so that means 3 to 6 Hawaii time. Good to have you along with us. Well, the Obama administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million worth of cash to Iran that coincided with the January release of 4 Americans detained in Tehran. Obama gave millions of dollars to the Ayatollahs in Iran in exchange for our prisoners. In effect, the president paid their ransom. Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, said this in response to that report, that the administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million worth of cash to Iran at the same time as the January release of 4 Americans detained by the Iranian regime. And I quote here, the Obama administration entered into the disastrous Iran nuclear agreement, hoping to modify Iran's behavior for the better. The exact opposite has occurred. Now we know that $400 million in foreign cash was delivered to coincide with the release of the hostages Iran was illegally holding. The reason the United States has had a policy of not paying ransom for the release of hostages is that doing so encourages the taking of more hostages. It appears Iran is doing exactly that. With us to talk more about this Cash for Terror program is Ken Timmerman, the author of Deception, The Making of the YouTube Video Hillary and Obama Blame for Benghazi, and Countdown to the Crisis, the Coming Nuclear Showdown with Iran. Timmerman is a nationally recognized investigative reporter and war correspondent who was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 2006. Ken Timmerman, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Bill, thanks for having me on.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, this story is so incredulous. I mean, I want to say on one hand, it's hard to believe, and I know that some people, you know, because they're not hearing about this in the mainstream media. They're just, you know, going along. They have been the PR arm for this administration, and they're ignoring the facts gravely here. And I'm putting this square on the shoulders of, our congressmen, our elected officials, and anybody else who has a voice about this to really call the president and John Kerry out for this.
Well, and you should. This is a scandal. And when you, the more you learn about the details, the more scandalous it becomes. So the Treasury Department prints money, and then they change it into Swiss francs in cash, euros in cash, and fly it in an unmarked plane, in unmarked bundles of cash to Tehran, like a drug payment. I mean,
yes.
Absolutely extraordinary. And they claim, right after the payments are made, then our hostages are released by Tehran. And they say, oh, this was completely coincidental, comrade. Unbelievable story.
Right. I mean, this is all referencing back a 70s deal that, an arms deal that, went by the wayside with Iran, back with the Shah. And now the Ayatollahs are claiming, hey, look, we want our money, suck up, pay up. And, they try to come up with this story. And, oh, my goodness. I mean, how would you like to be Josh Ernst or any of the other mouthpieces for this administration with a straight face trying to get people to believe, their story? I mean, because if it was straight up, why wouldn't you pay with American money? Why do you use an unmarked plane? I mean, all this, like you say, it's like a drug deal.
Yes, they're creating a deception, and they know it's a deception on the American people. Look, I listened to Kirby, who's the State Department spokesman,
yes,
say today that this was actually Iran's money. It was in an account frozen since 1979. I happen to know something about that, Bill, because I was involved with the victims of Iranian terrorism who received that money in 2000. During the Clinton administration, they cleaned out that account. It was called the Foreign Military Sales Account. It was $400 million, the exact same amount that was transferred to Iran in January. They cleaned that account out to pay the victims of terrorism. Why? Because they figured those victims had judgments against Iran. Iran owed the money. Iran would never pay them. So let's take Iran's money that was with the U.S. Treasury.
And so
that
now
money had already been paid out. It had already been paid out. Okay, so this was not Iran's money. This is your taxpayer dollars, my taxpayer dollars, Bill, that just went to pay a ransom payment to terrorists.
Well, as you say, the State Department can come up with their scenario, but I'll guarantee you Iran is saying this was payment. This was ransom payment because now you've got all the bad guys going, we've got America in the game. They're paying ransoms. And,
right.
And shortly after the release of four, didn't they capture two more Americans?
Absolutely. And this is why you don't pay ransom, right? Because it just encourages the hostage takers. At the time the payment was made, Bill, the head of the Basij, which is a paramilitary strike force to keep order, in quotes, in Iran, in other words, to keep down pro-democracy demonstrators, he came out publicly in the Iranian media and said, hey, they just made a ransom payment. We just got a $400 million ransom payment. So the Iranians had no doubt in their mind what this was all about. But the State Department, just as Hillary Clinton has done and Obama has done since the beginning, since they took power, is trying to create a deception to keep our attention away, to deflect our attention from what's really going on. It's exactly what they did in Benghazi.
Well, this puts us at risk, just like it did and all their other foreign policies. It is amazing to me, but still with a straight face, they will tell you that their job one is national security, but yet it's their decisions, just like this release of money. And I don't think they're fooling anybody. I think if they ran a poll on this, then a poll will probably be showing up that a majority of Americans clearly believe and see this as ransom. But we'll see if they really appreciate the fact that this puts all Americans at risk, because now we've rewarded bad behavior and we're going to get more bad behavior.
Essentially what this says to any American who goes to Iran, you are a potential hostage. and the Iranians will take you and then demand hundreds of millions of dollars from the American taxpayers to release you. It puts every American, and there's something like 30,000 of us who go to Iran every year for, as tourists and dual nationals and whatever, it puts every one of those individuals at risk.
Well, Ken, when do the American people finally get fed up with the lies that come out of this administration? The same administration that said we can keep our doctor, the same administration that said that we were going to be paying less for health care, the same administration that says that immigration is not a problem, the same administration that counters what the security analyst says about vetting Americans, I mean vetting refugees, is telling us now that there was no quid pro quo. But clearly critics, and I say anybody, you know, they say critics as if it's a bad thing. I think it's anybody with a brain, you know, connects the dots and says, this is really, you know, you don't really have to, you know, stretch your imagination here to see this for what it is. And this is ransom money.
Absolutely right. And it's the same administration that created the deception about a YouTube video that they blamed for Benghazi. Okay. It's exactly the same thing, going on here. Look, the Iran deal, Bill, the Iran deal was a complete disaster. There was no strategic reason for us to even start negotiating with Iran in 2013, which the administration did. We had them in a noose. The regime was being strangled by sanctions. They were more worried about a popular uprising from their own people than even the lack of oil revenues. They were on the ropes. The regime was on the ropes. And so what did Obama do? He said, oh, gosh, we can help you. And he started this negotiation, and we got nothing in return for it. They still have the nuclear weapons program, and they will have more capability in 10 years than they do today.
I guess the big question is, what was in it for Barack Obama? What did he get out of this?
Well, I've always wondered whether John Kerry is going to become the biggest lobbyist for Iran once he leaves office. Could be.
I don't know. Are they planning on making him an Ayatollah or something? Or, you know, what's going on here? I mean, this does not make sense.
We know about the Clinton Foundation. Wait till you see the Obama Foundation on steroids.
Well, yeah, I imagine that was maybe a quid pro quo there. Barack says, look, I'll run cover for you, but I want the SOP on the Clinton Foundation because I'm going to be out of a gig here pretty soon. Ken Timmerman, author of Deception, the making of the YouTube video Hillary and Obama Blame for Benghazi on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Ken.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket costs when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem.
So
call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Today,
booyah!
Just another Spanish love song.
Don't be afraid. You will not be hurt if you comply. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, good to have you along with us. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour right now. R.R. Reno is with us. That would be Dr. R.R. Reno, who knows, he says his friends call him Rusty. So we're going to call him Rusty because he's on the friend's side of the block here today as we talk about how government is not our father. You know, with the conventions now wrapped up, we're left with two presidential candidates that no one seems to really like. Our society is one step away from chaos, and Americans do not recognize their own country anymore. Dr. Reno, it's what it comes down to, doesn't it?
Yes, I think you're right about the father theme as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a society where increasingly people have no father in heaven and no father in the home.
Yeah.
And I think that's at the core of a lot of our society's unhappiness.
Well, definitely has made it easier for, you know, some politicos and those that would want to substitute the real father, which is in heaven, and has left so many Americans without a father at home, has presented and promoted policies that, particularly with black families, Hispanics as well, that have been blighted, and their fathers are MIA because of government programs that say, look, you don't need the dad in the house. Big government is your daddy.
There's no question that the decline of marriage is one of the drivers in the growth of government, because if the family's not there providing, you know, a context safety net, then people naturally turn to the government and ask for help. And then it's a vicious circle, because it's like a prosthetic, and the government's like a prosthetic, and you get dependent upon the prosthetic, and the culture of marriage continues to decline. So one of the things I think that Christians need to do in our time is to really double down on a witness on behalf of traditional marriage.
Well, especially when you have the empirical evidence is pretty solid. When you look at what's happened in the non-traditional families, you know, what is going on, the devastation, marriage in chaos, families in chaos, you know, and this happened in short order, you know, particularly, you know, you've got this Black Lives Matter movement, and let's just say, you know, and I hate hyphenating America because I believe that just separates us and bifurcates us in a way that ends up ununiting us, but let's just call it out and just take a look at just that segment and demographic of our society. I mean, the family unit in a short period of time has been turned upside down. You know, it wasn't really all that long ago that you had
you know, both parents in black families. But what happened, the government came in, said, look, it, we're going to incentivize women, particularly single black women, to not get married. And here it is. We have how many black families, particularly without a male figure in the household, and we're wondering why the family unit is in such disarray. The kids are all over the place, and you know they're just they're in chaos right now, Rusty.
Right, and I think that one of the really troubling signs is that that dysfunction is now increasingly characteristic of working class white women.
Mm-hmm.
So birth out of wedlock for working class white women is around 40%. And, you know, and that's up from a generation ago, really negligible. And so what we're seeing is that, you know, the kind of moral culture that we've created in the last generation has, you know, really tripped up a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, people at the top of society seem to be able to get married, stay married. So they kind of have their lives together. And one of the things I really focus on in my book that I've got on this is to point out how our moral system, kind of non-judgmentalism, moral relativism, works for the wealthy but not for the poor. And if you're really concerned about lifting people out of poverty, then you need to promote social conservatism.
Exactly. Well, your book, Resurrecting the Idea of a Christian Society, you know, was something I'm sure that you felt like, look, you had to begin to open up the conversation and embolden other Christians to speak about, you know, about their life story. About their faith, because, you know, we try to remind politicians about the foundation of this country that, you know, whether, you know, you want to debate and split hairs and say, well, you know, this founder was a specific Christian or a deist or whatever it is that you want to call it. Clearly, they had a connection with faith and religion to the point that they said that the Constitution, which they had developed, I mean, it wasn't taken from anybody else. It was, you know, you got 50 some guys together in a room going, hey, let's build a government. How do we do this? And after it's all said and done, you've got two of the significant leaders saying, wow, you know, you take morality out of this thing implodes on itself. And we're really counting on a moral people, you know, to be basically govern themselves.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, the government that governs best governs least. That's very true. But mm-hmm. we can only have a government that is limited if we have self-governing people. And that really requires us to understand the true nature of freedom, which is a great American value. And we need to recognize that our freedom is perfected in our service of moral truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not willfulness or license, but instead the freedom from, you know, freedom from our own bondage to our own selfishness and so on that lets us serve the common good. And so I really want to get Christians to sort of get out of the defensive crouch that we've gone into over the last few years, because we do feel like we're under assault, and in many ways we are. But I think we need to speak confidently, charitably, but confidently in the public square.
Well, if
we owe it to our fellow citizens.
Well, I find it quite interesting, Rusty. I mean, the Gallup poll of probably about 8 months ago or so cited that the general marketplace is saying, hey, where are the people of faith? Where are the Christians? How come they're not talking about these issues? And I go, well, for the last 20 years or so, you guys have been telling Christians their voices are invalidated. You kicked them out of the conversation. And now you guys are in a spiral dive because you've disengaged from any kind of moral connectiveness. And then you're saying, hey, where's the church on these issues? You know, I think it's a bit ironic, but maybe that's what, you know, the general marketplace has needed. They finally needed to get all the fight out of themselves, like somebody drowning. Now maybe it's time for the church to come in and be able to be that voice of reason.
I hope so. I mean, I think that after the killing of a number of black church members in Charleston, South Carolina, and then their testimony of forgiveness, which was such a powerful symbol of reconciliation, it just reminds us of how a society needs the reparative power of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you made your observations at the beginning of our conversation about how things are kind of coming apart, or against each other, feel like everything's unraveling. Well, this is the time when we need the reparative power of faith and public life. And I think Christians can step forward and, as I said, speak confidently and not in a defensive way about our vision of the future of America.
Well, and that's what we should have learned over the ages here, is that, you know, as I was talking with a pastor the other day, I said, you're not going to argue somebody into heaven. You know, that I've never seen anybody, you know, be forced into heaven or be argued into it. And I may be a bit naive, but just in my experience, you get the idea of, you know, of a Christian society, the idea of Christianity and what it means to you. And it is a personal thing. I think sometimes in our zealousness, we're almost like reformed alcoholics, that once we've, you know, controlled it ourselves, and we, you know, we want to beat everybody up with the very bottle we were just drinking out of.
Right. I think, you know, the key word is witness. Mm-hmm. And witness is a personal thing. It's a living witness, and not just disembodied ideas. And that's one of the great powers of Christianity, is that the Christian community is a witness. And so the integrity of our churches is really going to be very important going forward, that we live what we preach. Is, and that's, again, back to that Charleston, the murder and then the forgiveness, that's a very powerful witness of loyalty to the gospel. Right. On the part of, you know, whereas our human nature is to cry out for revenge, but instead to speak the word of forgiveness is a powerful, powerful symbol in a time when we're kind of at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. And very much in the political context right now, so polarized and angry. And I think we have an important contribution to make.
Yeah. Well, Rusty, I sense that even those people, and there's many others, when they have witnessed their story of the divine, that it transcends their own humanity. As one person very poignantly stated, said, you know, this is the most difficult thing that I've ever done, but I have to do this. I have to forgive. And, I mean, that was pretty genuine. I mean, that was a personal story, what they were feeling, that you could, you know, you can understand, and your heart just goes out to them, understanding that this is difficult. Somebody just killed a family member, but because God tells you that you need to forgive them, that sincerely, compassionately, she says, but I have to. You know, God has commanded me to do that.
And I think that's the fulfillment of the American idea of freedom. Mm-hmm. Because the person who can forgive in that sort of situation is profoundly free, you know, from the normal, you know, the way in which that sort of our finite humanity limits us. Mm-hmm. And and I think that's part of what our country needs to recover, is a true sense of freedom born out of loyalty to something higher than ourselves.
Exactly. Well, Dr. R.R. Reno, Rusty, has been our guest. His book, Resurrecting the Idea of a Christian Society, First Things Editor. Rusty, thank you so much for the book. Boy, you've given us lots to ponder and lots to be encouraged by. We have the proof. We have the evidence. We can go forth and speak with boldness and with love, because we have a society that's hurting for the experience and the answers that we have experienced, right?
You got it. That's exactly my message in the book.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you being with us.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hunters.